I guess.
Okay. It's good to be here. Yeah. You always hear that, but I mean it. That's the truth. I'm glad, glad. I mean, it always humbles me and to get to go somewhere and preach. I always enjoyed it. My wife always did. We'd be traveling along, somebody would call and she'd say, "Who was that?" And I'd say, "Well, it's preacher so-and-so." And he'd ask us to come by and preach, you know, or come up and for a meeting or something. And so that was always a, and she always enjoyed it as much as I did, I have to admit. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles today, now you better have a Bible. How many of you got a Bible with you? Now, how many of you, if you don't have your Bible with you, you got one at home? You got one at home. You got one that's maybe laying on a coffee table. Or you know where one's at? Anybody here that does not have a Bible, that does not have one at home, or do not know, or does not know where one is at? Ain't nobody like that. Because I'll get you a Bible. I'll mail it to you. A good one, too. Not one of them 15-cent ones you can't read unless you got a 100-power microscope. I'm serious. All right. We're going to be very vital that you follow along with us today in what we're going to try to bring to you. If you want to begin, go to the book of Luke. I'm not going to be preaching on hell per se, but I want to start right here in the book of Luke chapter 16. You got the rich man, you got Lazarus, and you know what happened. Rich man, he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. That wasn't Hades, Sheol, or Gehenna. Right. It was hell, H-E-L-L. That's King James Bible. Right. Now, if you didn't know where you was going and you was a Bible translator, it would probably behoove you to mark out a lot of places in the Bible that mention hell and put another name there. Right?
Right.
Right, right, right. That's what I believe. All right. In your King James Bible in Luke chapter 16, so you got Abraham. You got Abraham's bosom. You got Lazarus there. Now, the brother's teaching on dispensations. That part right there is not there now.
Right.
Ain't this book a sight? You're going to rightly divide it or you'll mess you up so bad you won't know which ends up. But anyway, God took that thing out of there. The Lord Jesus did. So that's good. But hell is still there.
Right.
Now, let's go on down here. So you get the rich man is reasoning with Abraham. And he's tormented in this flame, he says.
Right.
Hell is a real place of fire. F-I-R-E. H-E-L-L, fire. Okay.
Right.
I know that's a little over a lot of people's heads. They just don't seem to get it, but it's in the book.
Hell.
Now, we find something here. Let's just begin reading at 24, and he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Now, it wasn't because that he was rich. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house." Now listen very carefully what we're reading. "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come to this place of torment." Abraham said unto him, now here's what we're going to deal with today. "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." That's what he said. "And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." Now, just for a few minutes now, I want us to consider something here. This rich man's brothers Now, I realize that it wasn't like I've got a King James Bible here with 66 books in it. You understand that, right? But there was a, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, and yet it wasn't a Bible composed like we got one here now. You understand? But he said, they, talking about his brothers, Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets.
Right.
Let them hear them. All right? You got, everybody got that. In that rich man's house, where he come from, there was a Bible. There was Moses and the prophets. Just for a few minutes now, let's go back to the book of John. John, or go over to the book of John. I put it in reverse. And I should have had it in forward drive. In the book of John, chapter 12, John chapter 12, look at verse 44. Jesus said, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words. See that? And receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. See it? And I know that, his commandment is life everlasting. And whatsoever, he says here, whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. The spoken word, you have it in this book. It is called the oracle of God. Out of the mouth of God, you've got it. Now listen to me. Just a minute. You have Moses and the prophets and this book right here. You've got it right now. You got it. Now, it would be a horrible thing for you to die in your sin and go to hell. It'd be awful. You have Moses and the prophet. Some of you probably haven't read five verses in the last 10 years. So we read some to you. You said you're abrasive and mean. Now, you're listening now, aren't you? Okay, then I've accomplished my mission. All right, so you see in the book, my dear friend, that you have, they had Moses and the prophets. You have the word of God. You got the whole thing. You got the very words of the living God. Now, let me just read you a few things that this man had laying at his house, and he never paid no attention to it. Now, he'd heard enough to know that he needed to repent, right? He said, if one went back, said, now, brother, if they go back, they'll repent. That's what he said. He go to hell knowing what he needed to do, and he didn't do it, right?
Right.
He didn't know. Okay, now look at your Bible in the book of Deuteronomy. He had this. He had this, my dear friend. Now watch. This is Moses and the prophets. This is here. Now watch it. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 22. For a fire is kindled in mine anger. That's where he's at right now. Now, I'm telling you, he went to hell. He went to hell with that laying on his coffee table. And there's some of you, I have no idea about you all. The brother don't tell me nothing about you all. You'll go to hell with the word of God laying on your coffee table, in your lap, being read to you by your pastor every single week, and you'll still go to hell. You have Moses and the prophets and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You do not have any excuse. Over in the Bible in Romans, it says, thou art inexcusable, O man. You don't have an excuse. You have Moses and the prophets. And all the word of the living God from Genesis to Revelation. So he said here, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn into the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with their increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. That's going on as I speak. As I speak. Some of you know you're going to spend 24 hours almost a day on your cell phone anyway. You say, preacher, you're just mean. Just type in volcanoes and just watch where you're headed.
Right.
Go ahead. Go ahead. You see, that goes on. It's going on more and more and more and more every day, boiling up out of this old earth. And my dear friend, you have Moses and the prophets. You have the Word of God. You are without excuse. I'm without excuse. I got a King James Bible. I preach out of it. Wouldn't it be an awful thing for a preacher to have the Word of God stand behind a pulpit, and they got a lot of them going doing this, and my dear friend, then die and go to hell, and the Lord can only say, you had Moses and the prophets and the words of my son right square in your lap, and you died and went to hell. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine it. I can't imagine it. That was the reason that I'm saved, is because I couldn't imagine going to hell as a young man. It scared me, man. It scared me. You say, well, you're an old fear monger. That's right. That's right. It scared me, my dear friend, until I turned from my sin to Jesus Christ, and he saved my soul. Hallelujah. Look down at verse 28. The Bible says this, for they are a nation void of counsel. Now, this is to the Jews. But watch how it fits. If you was in the class with the brother, remember what he had to say? Remember? Now watch how this fits. Now watch. This fits you. This fits America now, yet it was talking to the nation Israel. All right? For they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there understanding in them. No understanding. That's where we're at right now. My dear friend, we got a lady coming on the Supreme Court, don't even know what a woman is, and she's won. Now, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I knew what a woman was, my dear friend, before I could even talk, because I lay on my mother's breast. I didn't go to daddy. Oh, you say you get mad. Oh, yeah, yeah, I do. I can't. This is pretty. You just want to laugh. You want to do something. You don't know what you want. Good night. Well, here we are. For they are a nation void of counsel. There is neither is there any understanding in them. Are we not there? Do you not have the Word of God in your lap that's talking to you right now? Isn't this some book? Isn't this some book? You say, you're just bragging about the book. Yeah, I sure am. Verse 29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. You know what that man did? He had that land right in his house. Right there, my dear friend, in his house. In his house. That he did not consider. He did not consider his latter end. You say, what's that mean? That means, my dear friend, he didn't think about dying and going to a place called hell. Yeah. That's the truth. All right, so there you go in your Bible. Now, in your Bible, in the book of Isaiah, just keep it going in your Bible, Isaiah to your right, Isaiah chapter 52, Isaiah 52. You said, you mean he had this too? Yes, he had this too. He had Isaiah. You say, well, I don't know about Isaiah. Abraham said, thou hast Moses and the prophets.
Right.
You remember when the Ethiopian eunuch had been to church and didn't get a thing, but he got a Bible. He got Isaiah. Now, he may have carried it there. I don't know where he got it. But he had it, and he was reading Isaiah 53. Remember that? Isn't that something? You say, well, what about this man you're talking about here, this rich man? And that says, I'll tell you, my dear friend, that rich man there had what I'm reading from now as I'm speaking. Watch it. Isaiah chapter 52. Let's start right there. Look at the Bible. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astoned at him, at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. Hey, by the way, you're jumping. You realize what you're doing here. I'm going to read two verses that's going to that's telling about Jesus' crucifixion as well as when he comes back during the millennial.
Right
in this one verse. What a book. What a book. You say, what do you do with this book? Man, kiss it. You say, you're an idiot. Well, I stand before God, and the Lord says, Kenneth, you just exalted my word too much. Can you? It's already been quoted here this morning. Exalted is the word above all his name. So I don't think I'm in any trouble. All right, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that, now watch you on now, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. I just watched Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report? Do you believe that report? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, my dear friend, was marred more than any man? Do you believe that he died on the cross from Calvary, was buried, and rose again? Man, you got something different even than that the rich man had, in that you got the fulfilling of that in the New Testament. And my dear friend, even though that's true, you see that this rich man, my dear friends, in hell, because the word of God was revealed there. Right. It's revealed right here. Then Isaiah 53, I'll not read all that. You're familiar with it. How that in verse 4 it says, surely he had borne our griefs, he hath carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And my dear friend, he had this here, and I understand it hadn't come yet. I understand that. Yet he still, my dear friend, had to understand that the law and the prophets. Now remember that law and the prophets. What was his problem? He didn't pay no attention to the law. He didn't pay attention to the prophets. Just like some of you at your house with the King James Bible. And our King James Bible is telling you today that are here and is telling you at your house that Jesus died for you, that he was buried for you, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and yet you go on your way. Oh, don't. Put the brake on. Man, put the brake on. Stop. And consider your ways. That rich man, my dear friend, as far as I can see, he did not consider the prophets, the law and the prophets. I'll tell you something else I consider. That rich man's whole household did not consider the law and the prophets. His brothers did not consider the law and the prophets. He said nothing about his daddy and his mama. They may have been on the other side for all I know. You understand what I mean there? He didn't say anything about them. He said, I've got five brethren. And so, my dear friend, that's the terror of it. That's the terror. You realize, my dear friend, if you're not saved by the grace of God today, that today's the day of salvation.
Right.
You've been to a place here this morning, the Sunday school hour. You've been here now, the preaching of a King James Bible. You've heard singing of the gospel. Right. And, my dear friend, rejected. My dear friend, thou hast the words, thou hast the law and the prophets laid out to you. Amen, amen.
Amen.
All right. Who has believed our report? I'll tell you one that's believed it. I have.
Amen.
I'm not bragging. I have believed the law and the prophets and this King James Bible. The fulfilling of, my dear friend, of the prophecies of our Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53. Yet, I didn't know Isaiah 53 existed when I got saved. I couldn't have quoted John 3:16 if somebody had a shotgun at my head. I did not know. What I knew, though, was that Jesus died for me, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day.
Amen.
Do you realize that's in God? That is the gospel?
Amen.
That's it. You say, well, what about full gospel? Well, what full gospel means, they've added to the gospel. You don't believe it, ask them. Help yourself. I mean, really, help yourself. You say, well, you just mean and carry on. No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. The full gospel is, according to your King James Bible, let's watch it real quick here. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You say, well, we know all that. Well, how come you don't do something about it? Amen. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Look at that. Look at here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you what? The gospel. Now he's going to do it. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. All right? This is the gospel, watch it, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that? Here it goes. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Amen. You say, what is that? That is the gospel.
Right.
You have that in your hand, or you have that at your house, or you have one, or you know where one's at.
Right.
And we done offered to buy you one. All you got to do is say, I have no Bible, and we don't have one in our house. All you got to do is tell me. I'll write your name down. I'll get your address. You'll be getting one within the next 2 weeks. Really? You would do that? Yes. You will not stand, and by the way, even if you're here, you will not stand before God with any excuse, because you have Moses and the prophets being preached to you, being taught to you, and you know that Jesus died for you and that he was buried and he rose again the third day. He paid your sin debt in full. Why will you die? God said that about Israel. Why will you die, O house of Israel? And they'd go on their way. They went on their way. Some of you are going to be sitting here this morning. You've already made up your mind that this preacher's crazy and that this church is something. I don't know what's going on here. And you'll judge and you'll go on your way and you'll wind up right exactly with that rich man. Right where he's at.
Right.
And you had the law and the prophets. You had the whole book right at your disposal. What a terrible, terrible thing that would be. The Bible says this. Here's something else. John chapter 5 and verse 22, he says, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. You'll stand before the one who died for you on the cross. You'll stand before the one who was buried and who rose again the third day. And yet, my dear friend, without Jesus Christ, bind him hand and foot. And I realize that, but anyway, and cast him into outer darkness. Now, I realize where I'm coming from here, but it will not, but you get over in your Bible. The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's where you're going to be. If you die before then, you're going to be in hell. You'll stay in hell till the white throne judgment. Then you'll be brought up, and my dear friend, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. You will stand before the one who died for you, was buried for you, and rose again for you. What a horrible, horrible thought that would be. My, I can't imagine. I really can't. Well, there may be some family problem here. I have no idea. Preacher, don't call me and say, all right, preacher. Said, we got this and this and that. We're going to be sitting on the 14th row back through there. And they're going to, none of that kind of stuff. Here's what we know. There's a lot of ups and downs in families. I know that the devil's after the family. You say, how do you know that? He went after the first one. He sure did. And he come, and I know some of you women might blow your wig off, but I'm going to tell you this, according to the Word of God. My wife wore them all the time because she was almost bald-headed. And I'm not being mean. I'm not being mean. But my dear ladies, dad's got the responsibility of that house.
Right.
You said, well, he just don't take it. Let him have it anyway.
Right.
You said, man, it'd be chaos around our house. You said, what am I supposed to do? Well, the Bible just tells you to submit. Now, it goes so far, he ain't going to drag you to the beer joint. You say, well, is there any Bible on that? Yes, there's some Bible on that. That is fit in the Lord. Now, you have to watch all them little pieces, see. I've heard some of these preachers say, well, you know, if he has you to go to the gambling stream, just go on, go with them. They're crazy. They are. They're stupid. But anyhow, when you... So you say, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, have you not Moses and the prophets? Have you not the Genesis chapter 3? Go over and read it. You'll find what God put right there with Eve. Amen. You say, well, you're just a male chauvinist pig. Oink, oink. But I'm not. If my wife was here, I'd tell you, I'll say, you talk to my wife afterward. You're going to have to go to heaven to be able to talk to her because she's already gone. She beat me home. But anyway, you know what the last thing I heard out of my wife's mouth was? You said, well, you're just a brute and so on and so forth. You know the last thing I heard out of my wife? Going down 65, turned on 10, going over to Gulfport, and that truck got us in the rear end there, and instantly my wife was gone. Just a few minutes before that, I said, Mama, patted her on the leg. We did this a lot. And I said, Pop, Mama, I love you. See, you got to tell that wife at least 5 times a day, every time you go out of the house. Now, ain't that right, ladies? Now, see, ladies all over the house doing like this. Amen. I'm right. I'm with you. And so even if sometimes I go to town, I go down to the post office and come back, and old mom say, oh, my, you know, I forgot to tell you I loved you. So I say, I love you, Mama. And you say, well, I thought that's different than what I thought about you a while ago. Well, you ought to think right. Amen. And so, so, Mama, you have the law and the prophets. Daddy, oh, now then, here's where the load comes in. You say, what am I supposed to do? Well, now, this is the way I counsel young people when they come to us about marriage. I'd tell you, it's going to take at least 30 seconds. I said, 30-second counsel? You ain't going to get nothing. Oh, yeah, I'll get it. I'll give you everything. Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You said, that's it? That's it. You do that, everything's fine. See, I hear an amens from women in here, brother. Amen, amen. Ah, there's something God built into a woman. I ain't got it figured out. I never did figure out my wife. I'll be honest, we've been 55 years. I never figured it out. But I did figure out one thing. If I told her, I love you, I love you, I love you. There's just something about that that just triggered things. Amen, amen, amen. And here we are. And I was able to stand there and look my wife in the face in the casket. I was preaching the funeral. Nothing between. Nothing that hadn't been taken care of, whatever. And a little dispute. Just, I'm sorry, Mom. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. And we'd argue back and forth who's sorriest the sorriest. And so on and so forth. How can you do that? Because it is written. It's written. It's written. You say, that's just too simple. It's written. It's simple. A dummy like me, the IQ of about 35, my dear friend, if I can get it, you can get it. Amen. 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 So, Dad, you have the law and the prophets. Amen. So when you're burning in hell, you're going to remember you had the law and the prophets. That Old Testament told you about Jesus coming. That Old Testament told you that God built a fire in his anger that's going to burn into the lowest hell and consume the earth with their increase. Set on fire the foundations of the earth. That's what's going on right now. Look it up. You'll spend some time on your computer. Look some time up. Look up all that stuff that's going on. Whatever that is out there in the West. We've been there a few times, old faithful popping up and down, and that ground just keeps swelling. Do you realize what kind of a volcano's under that thing? They say if that thing blows, pops, man, that whole country's going to be gone. And I don't believe it's going to happen before the Lord comes back, but she's coming. Aye. Yes, sir, boys. It's the earth's going to burn. You say, where do you get that? I got it out of this book. It's going to be dissolved and so on. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. When your eyes are burned up in their sockets when our Lord comes back, you say, who are you talking about? Turn your Bible to the law and the prophets. You say, good night, preacher. All right, look at your Bible, Zechariah chapter 14. Watch this thing here. 14. I'll wait till you get there because you don't believe what I'm saying. All right? Verse 9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Mm-hmm. In that day. You want to watch him little words like that day, that day. It's really a good two little words there that opens up hundreds of verses. All right, in that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. Well, you know when that is. That ain't now. It's coming. And the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate until the place of the first gate, until the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel until the king's wine press. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. That's future. All right. Verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth while they're still on their feet.
Aye.
You say, wow, what a book. What a God we serve.
Aye.
He is a God of vengeance.
Aye.
He's a God of love. He's a God of patience. He's a God of long-suffering. But there's a God also, same God. You understand this. He's also a God who will laugh at your calamities. You've refused wisdom. You've refused all that stuff. God said, I'll laugh at your calamities. When your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, go ahead and yell and scream. God said, I'll just laugh at you. He said, man, where do you get this stuff? Try Psalms 2 and Proverbs 1 for starters. You said, I ain't never heard nothing like that before. Oh, if you come here to church, you have. But my dear friend, and I don't have no idea where you at or any of you folks, but I want to tell you this. You go to a church that all they do is just one love side, just love, 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 something bad wrong. Our God is a consuming fire. That's what the book says in the New Testament. You have the law and the prophets. You've got it. You have. So you're without excuse, and so am I. God shall laugh at your calamities. My. Well, you say, preacher, I'll decide one of these days. I guarantee that that rich man, guarantee you, if he'd have knew that hour, knowing what he knew, there'd have been something different. But it's always that I'll just put it off a little bit longer and a little bit longer and a little bit longer. How would you like to remember this message for the rest of eternity in hell? You say, I don't like you anyway. You'll like me even less when you end up in hell. Because that thing's going to haunt you. You say, where do you get that word at? Luke 16. Abraham said, son, remember. You'll remember this. You'll remember the pastor. You'll remember the bands that's come through here. You'll remember the Sunday school time. You'll remember and remember and remember and remember. That's what Abraham says in the book of Luke, chapter 16. Jesus Christ is the one who gave that story. Amen. And I don't mean like Uncle Remus. I mean a story, a real one. Sinner, you're going to remember this message forever and forever and forever. Why? How? Well, you have this book. You have the law and the prophets. Now, just for a second, I am not a singer, and but I want you to listen to the words of this song. Would you listen, please? Just for a minute, and I'm going to shut up. It's called the Fire Song. I don't know if you've ever heard it or not. I come across it somewhere, but it's something like this. Oh, the judgment day is coming. What an awful day it will be. Christ forever is my refuge, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, lost sinner, when when the world's on fire? Don't you want God's bosom for to be your pillow? Hide me over on the rock of ages. Rock of ages, play for me. At the sounding of the trumpet, at the dawning of the day, worldly pleasures with their treasures shall forever pass away. Oh, lost sinner, you'll be crying for that home you'll never see. You'll say, depart from me. Oh, lost sinner, you'll be crying for that home you'll never see. But the ransom, that's me and that's you that have been bought with a price. But the ransom, but the ransom will be singing, Rock of Ages, clap for me. Oh, lost sinner, when the world's on fire, it's, you say this world is going to burn. Peter tells you that. It's going to be dissolved. It's like an Alka-Seltzer in a glass of water. That's another message. All right. Oh, lost sinner. When the world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom for to be your pillow? Hide me over on the rock of ages. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, set me up solid. As a 15-year-old boy, I'm on the rock. And he holds me there. What a Savior. If you're not saved today, boy, today be a good time. Yes, be a good morning. Good morning to trust Jesus. You say, how can I know I'm saved? You have the law and the prophets. And you've got the eternal security explained to you in detail in that New Testament. Whew, man, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. There's a man, woman, boy, girl here that's not saved. I pray this would be the very day when they trust you as their Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, brother, I'll...
Let's all stand, head bows, eyes closed. There's many that are coming. God spoke to your heart this morning. Would you come? Do you know that you're saved this morning? Do you know that for sure? If you were to die today, do you know for 100% sure where you'll spend eternity? Is there any doubt? Say, preacher, this morning, I don't know for sure, and I sure would like to know. He presented the gospel to you. Maybe there's somebody here this morning. Say, Brother Andrew, I'd like to talk to somebody. I want to know for sure that I'll go to heaven when I die. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. There's many that have come. Anybody like that at all? Just raise your hand and say, preacher, I want somebody to pray with me. Somebody talk with me. I want to know that when I die, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven and not the lake of fire. Anybody like that at all? Child of God, what about you this morning that are saved? We've got that book sitting in our lap. We've got it sitting at our house. He mentioned just a few things there about husband being the husband and father that he ought to be, and a wife being the wife that she ought to be. We're going to stand before God one day. Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, regarding God's people, said, for it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Those that know to do right and don't do it. There may be some this morning that as he preached this message, God began to speak to your heart about things in your life that are just not right with him. Maybe this morning you'd like to take time to get right with him. We have the promises of his book. the comfort of the Scriptures. But I tell you what, if we're not living right, it could be a dangerous thing. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, please. God sent this message for us this morning for a reason. Let me ask you this question. Nobody looking, please. If you know for 100% sure that if you were to die today, you're going to heaven. You know that. The Bible said in 1 John 5:13, you can know that you have eternal life. If you know that, would you raise your right hand as a testimony to say, if I was to die today, I know I'm going to heaven. All right, you can put it down. Thank you for raising your hand. There's a few that couldn't raise them. And I pray this morning for those that did raise your hand. I'm not talking you out of your salvation. You can't talk me out of mine. But I pray that you raised your hand because you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and that alone. I hope you didn't raise it because you thought you were a good person or because you thought that you've been baptized or because your family saved. Only in the blood of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Maybe as the preacher spoke this morning, there's still some praying. We're not going to rush anything. Maybe as the preacher preached this morning, your heart was burdened for some souls, some people that you know that aren't saved. That rich young ruler was down there, and that rich man cried out because he all of a sudden had a burden for his family. We need a burden for our family. We need a burden for our neighbor. We need a burden for our coworkers. He read some verses that are some awful things. Absolutely awful. Dying without Christ is an awful thing. Pray that you know Him this morning. We're about to dismiss, and once we do, if you have any questions or you'd like to know for sure, those that didn't raise your hand, you know what I want to say? Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for being honest. That's a first step. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ wants to save you. He died for you on the old rugged cross, and you're going to be without excuse after being here this morning. And some of you have heard preaching over and over again. Child of God, this thing's about to wrap up, and there's a judgment seat coming for us, the judgment seat of Christ. Man, why don't we get things right with God here before we get there? Brother McFadden talked about keeping a short account with his wife, and when she went on to glory, there was no regrets. There was nothing standing in the way of we were right with one another. Wouldn't it be nice if we had that relationship with Christ? If we were to go off into eternity or the Lord was to come back, and I believe He's come back any minute, that we would go maybe having things in our past that we wish we could change, but we left right with Him right now. I pray that you do that this morning. Get right with God. If you've not been faithful, get faithful. Not been living a good testimony, live a good... just get right. Get right and do right. Time is drawing nigh. It's drawing short. Amen. Lord, thank you for loving us, and we thank you for being a great God and a great Savior. Father, thank you so much for this message you sent us this morning. Father, what a humbling God, what a sobering thought, Father, that there's people that live their life every day with a Bible sitting close by. Father, sitting in our vehicles, riding with us, sitting on the table at the house, and even riding to church with us, Father, that we wouldn't open it up and see what would please you, Lord, and what displeases you. Father, there's someone here today, God, and there's a few that didn't raise their hand by their own testimony, Father, that doesn't know if they were to die today, if they'd spend eternity in heaven or hell. And maybe some of them know it'll be hell. Father, I pray, God, that they would get saved. Please, Father, Lord, I pray their pride would not send them to hell. Father, there's nothing that's worth going to hell over. Father, thank you so much for this message. I pray, God, it continue to burn in our hearts. Lord, it would give those that are saved a burden, Father, Lord. Give us a vision to see others saved. Lord, that we would take our lives, Father, and reconsecrate them back to you, Father. Thank you, Father, for all you've done for us, Lord. Bless the nursing home service, Lord, the fellowship here in just a moment. Teen Challenge tonight, God. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.